الشيخ ريدي وين يو ان شاء الله.
ريدي ان شاء الله.
اوكي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا، وبعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to our 64th lesson of أصول الثلاثة, the three fundamental principles, with our honorable Sheikh, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. We will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, inshallah. Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا. Sheikhna, Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, ثلاثة الأصول, the three fundamentals, this beautiful book by the Sheikh al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. And we reach where the author is saying, in the last session we talked that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends messengers for the guidance of mankind, to inform them about what they have to do and what they should not do, so that they will not have any excuse before Allah on the day of resurrection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent unto every nation, every people, warner, a messenger. So no one will have any excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even those who died in a period where no prophet came to them, like the duration between Isa alayhi salam and our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will be given a chance there and Allah will test them. And if they pass the test, they will be admitted into paradise. And if they fail, they'll go to hell. So no one will have any excuse, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil, is just, and He will never wrong anyone. So here the author now is saying about this chain of prophets and warners and messengers, he's saying, وَأَوَّلْهُمْ نُوحَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وآخرهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو خاتم النبيين. والدليل على أن أولهم نوح قوله تعالى. So the first messenger was Nuh. Adam was Nabi عليه السلام. As you know, Allah sent about 124,000 prophet and messengers. So the first of the messengers was Nuh alayhi salam, Noah, and the last one was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he is the seal of the prophet, seal. That means no one will come after him. So anyone claims that he is a prophet, he is false prophet and he is a liar and he is an imposter. As the Prophet ﷺ told us in the authentic hadith, 30 liars will come after him, men and women, each one were claiming that he is a prophet. The first one happened to be Musaylamah, the liar at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And it is the Prophet ﷺ who called him Musaylamah al-Kadhab, Musaylamah the liar. And then Al-Aswad al-Ansi in Yemen, Sajah also, a woman, claimed she is a prophetess. And then from time to time, someone comes and says he is a prophet. Ghulam Ahmad Gadiani claimed he is a prophet. Elijah Muhammad claimed he's a prophet, etc. So we just keep counting and ticking. Those are the liars the Prophet ﷺ told us about them. So no prophet will come after him. And if someone says, how about Isa alayhi salam? Isa alayhi salam, because he didn't die. So when he comes back, he will follow the law of the Prophet ﷺ. He followed the Sharia of Islam. And that's why when he descends at Fajr time and finds the Muslims straightening their lines, the Mahdi would ask him to lead and he would say, no. The leader, the imam from you, from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he will pray behind the Mahdi. So he's not going to come to abrogate the law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَهُوَ خَاتِمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. So the chain has been sealed and ended. The chain of prophets and messengers. And the delil and proof for that is what Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 163. Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuh, ila Nuhin wal nabiyyin min ba'dih. So Allah is saying, verily, we send the revelation to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as we sent the revelation to Nuh and the prophets after him. And the prophets after him. Nuh alayhi salam, as you know, he stayed giving da'wah to his people day and night. For 950 years. Can you imagine? 950 years he is giving da'wah to them, and only a handful believed. Day and night he is calling them. But they were rebellious. Stubborn. When Nuh talks to them, they thrust their index fingers into their ears. They don't want to hear him. And they covered their faces. They covered their faces. So they don't want to see, they don't want to hear. So 950 years. Even his son didn't believe. His son, his own son. When the whole land was covered with water, and his father is calling him, come, embark the ship, said, I will seek shelter in the mountain. There's no shelter today. And he was drowned. And when he called upon Allah, this is my child, my son, Allah told him, it is evil progeny, evil deed. So Nuh alayhi salam, he did his best. He delivered the message. He was patient. But the one who opens the heart is only Allah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you, innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. Lakin Allah yahdi man yasha. You don't guide whom you love, only Allah guides. You don't open people's heart. That is not in your hand. Your task, your mission is to deliver the message. That's it. And this is what the da'is should understand. Our role as du'a, as callers, just to present the truth and to deliver the message. That's it. In the best way, with wisdom and hikmah. Without compromising, just present the message. No need to sugarcoat it. The message is beautiful by itself. No need. No need to misconstrue the text. Present it. من شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. Whoever wants to believe should can believe. He decides to disbelieve, he will bear the consequences. This is the role of the da'i. Not that you compromise and you customize the message. You customize it. What the people want to hear, that's what you present to them. So you don't present the entire message of Islam to them. Holistically, you pick and choose. Because if you present Islam totally, holistically, maybe this is what the shaitan comes to you and whispers into your ears. You upset them. People will react. People, they don't want to hear this. And then the shaitan fools you and tells you it is from the hikmah not to address this, only this. No. Truth should not be hidden. We have to present the deen to the people. We don't hide anything. And it's up to you. لا إكراه في الدين. No compulsion, a religion. Why? قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The truth stands clear from misguidance, from falsehood. It's up to you. So the role of the caller, the role of the propagator, the role of the da'i is just present the message. Nothing more than that. What is incumbent upon the messenger is only the clear delivery of the message. Al-Balagh al-Mubin, that's it. So this is the evidence, this is the proof that Nuh was the first messenger. إن أوحينا إليك كما أوحينا إلى نوح والنبيين من بعده. نبيين is the plural form of نبي. And the نبي is called نبي because he is نبئ. He has been informed. Okay. Or because he has high status also. That's another meaning of the Nabi. He has a high status linguistically. So it is because he was informed, or because he occupies high status. And the difference between the Rasul and the Nabi, that the Nabi doesn't come with an independent or new law, new Sharia. He follows the Sharia of the one messenger who preceded him. That's the difference. Both of them, they receive wahi from Allah. Both of them, they convey what they received from Allah. The difference is that the messenger comes with law, with Sharia, that abrogates the Sharia that came before him. Because Allah keeps abrogating the laws, one by law. And why Allah abrogates the law? It is promotion, upgrading. The new law will have many, will address many issues the previous law didn't address. So all the good things in the previous law are incorporated in the new law and more, because the new law addresses more issues which are new, were not existent at the time of the previous messenger. And now these problems, because the people needs, they keep developing and new things keep coming up. So you need a law to address these issues. So that is the philosophy and the wisdom of the abrogation. So the law, the new Sharia, will come with the new solutions to address the issues of the people. And the final Sharia and law is the Sharia al-Islam, which Allah embedded in it many elements and mechanisms that will make it so flexible to accommodate any new issues. Any new issues, name it. And the Sharia provides the solution. There are many issues in fiqh today which you will never find them in the books of the scholars in the past, because they were not there. That's why the mujtahidun, the scholars who are entitled for ijtihad, and that's why, alhamdulillah, there are majami' fiqhiyya, there are bodies, assemblies of the Muslim jurists across the Islamic world, and they have many centers, and they meet and they discuss the new issues, and then they issue the verdicts, like cloning, test tube babes, COVID-19, surrogacy, surrogate mothers, hiring wombs, banks of sperm, banks of milk, etc. Organs transplant, organ donation. So all these issues, the Sharia, alhamdulillah, addresses. Answers are there. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this Sharia, okay, so flexible, and there is room and leeway to accommodate and address all the new issues. So no issue will come and pop up except that the Muslim scholars will find the solution and will provide it. Because this is the beauty of the Islamic law. So that's the difference between the Nabi and the Rasul. Keep this in mind. Because some books you may come across, or maybe you studied in school, that the difference that the Nabi is not commanded to deliver the message which he received. And that's not true. That's not true. Banu Israel, they were ruled by their prophets. And they were ruling them by the law of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Okay. If a scholar will go to hell if he hides the knowledge which he learned from the prophet, how about the prophet himself if he hides the knowledge that he received from Allah? And the number of the prophets are so many. Some, their names are mentioned, some are not. Some are not. But what we know that every nation Allah sent to them messenger. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ عُبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَيْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. So verily we have sent into every nation, every nation, every ummah, every people, a warner, a messenger, proclaiming, delivering, calling them, and عبد الله, worship Allah, ويجنب الطاغوت, and shun the false objects of worship, false deities. So when we read some books of other nations, we find some fragments of the truth there. For example, if you read in the Hindu scriptures, you find many passages or verses talked about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in details. So this is an indication that these are fragments of the truth that was sent to prophets who came to them. Then these books were corrupted as over time, and people have added many things to them. But we Muslims can sift and see, because the Quran is the Muhaimin. And we can say that this could be a revelation came to them. Because to know about something will happen in the future, no one knows that except through revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them messengers, and no one will have any excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Sheikh says, وَكُلُّ أُمَّةٍ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ نُوحٍ إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم يَأْمُرْهُمْ بِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. وينهاهم عن عبادة الطاغوت. Every nation that Allah sent a messenger to them. There's no single nation that Allah didn't send a messenger to them. Starting by Nuh up to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those messengers would command them to worship Allah alone and to forbid them from worshiping the Taghut. The Taghut, false deities. Anything that is worshipped besides Allah is Taghut. And the proof for this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 36. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةُ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And we certainly sent into every nation a messenger saying, worship Allah and avoid Taghut. And among them were those whom Allah guided, and among them were those upon whom error was deservedly decreed. So proceed through the earth and observe how was the end of the deniers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly telling us here that he sent into every nation a messenger. Oh, because you see, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah created mankind, the father, Adam alayhi salam, upon the Tawheed, the belief in Allah. So all mankind, all children of Adam, and all the nations are created and born on the Tawheed, on the Fitra. Then they started to drift away from the right beliefs. It's not what the historians say and they teach us in school. Man was primitive. And then he developed. He started worshiping trees, stones, and then little by little, he progressed and developed, evolved in his belief. It's the opposite. Man was from the beginning on the Tawheed, worshiping Allah. So the origin is the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we came into this world, Allah took all of us from the back of our father Adam. All his children, billions, right? Yes, all of them. And he made each one of us to testify to his oneness. And all of us testified to that and bore witness. But that covenant, we don't recall. We don't remember. So every child is born upon that fitrah, that natural inclination to incline and turn to the worship of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. If this child is left freely without any external influences. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Kullu mawlud yuladu ala al-fitra." Every child is born upon this innate nature, natural disposition, this fitrah, the nature, this embedded faith in us. Because man by nature is a worshiper by nature. He has to worship. Either you worship the true deity or false deity, but you have that urge to worship, to adore something. So every child is born upon that. That's why many of you who reverted to Islam, when you read about Islam, you find it, this is what I have been looking for. It resonates with what you have. You feel there's harmony. Nothing that you can reject. Everything goes in, into your heart. Because the Quran addresses that faith inside you, which has been clouded by external factors. As the Prophet said, فَأَبَوَاهُ, his parents, يُهَوِّدَانَ, they make him a Jew. So now, because of the teachings of the parents, he has formulated and formed certain concept and beliefs. Either to believe he is a super race, okay, and the rest of the people are less than him, because this is what his parents inculcated and instilled in him. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانَ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانَ, they make him a Christian. He's born monotheist, this child, with fitrah. I saw a clip, little girl, of course, her parents are Christian, and she is asking her father, you can see it on the net, questions. That these are the questions of the fitrah regarding the divinity of Christ, alayhi salam. And we kill that fitrah in the heart of the child. And we program them and brainwash them. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is your creator. Jesus created me. Yes. But he's created. His mother, Mary, carried him 9 months in her womb. He was circumcised on the seventh day, as mentioned in the Bible. How can he be my creator? God is circumcised. This was a child. Anyone who has sound fitrah will not accept that. How can a human being be God? And then he died. God died. So the universe without God, no creator, so you kill the fitrah in the heart of the child by giving this false belief. And we feel pity for the Christians because they have been misled by Saint Paul, because this whole belief of the bulk of Christendom today, which is to believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and God came in the form of a human being, God incarnate, which Paul just borrowed from other beliefs. It is there in Hinduism and other beliefs. And he presented to the Christians. So the Christians actually, they did not receive the true message of Isa alayhi salam. The message that they reached Rome, reached Europe, was already distorted. It is the religion, the new faith concocted and made up by Paul or Saul. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانَهُ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانَهُ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانَهُ. Okay, the parents can make him also Zoroastrian, fire worshiper. Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, his father was the one who was in charge of the house of the fire, to keep the fire always. Okay? Putting wood so the fire will not die and will not be put out. Salman Fitra, radiallahu anhu, how come? This is my God, the fire is my God, I worship it, and I am taking care of it. Cannot be. Come on. You use your common sense. What is this? This is my creator, the fire. So he had this inner struggle within himself. And he was searching and looking for the truth. Then a group of the Christians came to Persia, and he saw them, and they talked to him, and he liked what they told him, because they are talking about creator, they're talking about heaven, they talk about life. So there is some truth in what they are saying. Not the fire that is your creator. So he followed them and he ran away. And he had long journey, as you know. And he served many of the clergymen and the priests. And the last one, before he died, he told him, listen, Salman, okay? There is a time, this is a time of a prophet to appear in Arabia. And he told him, it is mentioned in the scriptures, in Yathrib. That's why the Jews, they settled there. Why they settled there? Because they knew this is the time of a prophet to come to Medina. And they were expecting that messenger to be from among them. That's why they were threatening the Arabs, always. Threatening the Arabs and telling the Arabs this is the time of a prophet to appear, to come. We'll follow him, we'll believe in him and follow him and kill you all and wipe you all. We'll slaughter you all, annihilate you all like Ad and Thamud. So that's why they were in Medina, waiting. But to their surprise, he was not from the descendant of Isaac, he was from the descendants of Ishmael, Ismail alayhi salam, their cousin, the Arabs. Arabs and the Jews are cousins. Descendants of Ishmael, and descendants of Isaac. So Salman was informed that this is the time. So he found the caravan of the Arabs going to Arabia. He told them, I want to go there, and they sold him. They considered him a slave and they sold him as a slave to one of the Jews in Medina. And you know the rest of the story. When the Prophet ﷺ came, he went to see him. And he knew the signs that he accepts the gifts and he doesn't eat the sadaqah. So he came to test the Prophet ﷺ. He brought a bucket of date, full of date. I said, this is charity. The Prophet ﷺ gave it to his companions and said to them, eat. He didn't touch it. So he said, okay, this is one. He came again and he brought another plate with full of date. Said, this is a gift, present. He ate from it. Okay. Then he knew that there is a seal between his shoulders of the Prophet ﷺ. How do you see that? He tried all the time till one day the Prophet ﷺ was bearing one of the Sahaba and he was sitting near the grave. So Salman was trying to peep, to look. Perhaps he will see the seal here. He knows exactly the place. It is a growth covered with few hairs. The Prophet ﷺ knew what Salman was looking for. So he removed the cloak and said, look. And he saw it. He became a Muslim. Radiallahu anhu. So my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created us to worship him. And the tawheed is there embedded in our hearts from day one. Day one. It's not that man evolved, no. All the people were upon the monotheistic creed. The first deviation happened in the people of Noah, Nuh alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is telling us, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. Verily, we have sent into every nation a messenger. What does this messenger say? An'budullah. This is what the messenger says. An'budullah. Wajtanibu al-taghut. Worship Allah and shun al-taghut. Shun and avoid false deities, idols, anything you worship. Whether it's a tree, animal, celestial body, moon, sun, rivers. All these are false. You have to disbelieve in them. You disbelieve in the false deities. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And that's the meaning of the negation La ilaha. First you negate, then you affirm. And the negation precedes the affirmation. That first of all, you disbelieve by the negation. You disbelieve in all the false deities and false deities. Disbelieve in that. Then you believe in the true deity, your creator. So that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So the significance of the negation and the affirmation. The negation that you negate false deities, the affirmation you affirm and believe in the true deity, and that's Allah. So with Janibu Tahut, you cannot say, I worship Allah, but I will not disbelieve in the false deities. No. First, disbelieve in the false deities. First of all, empty your heart. Clear it from the love of any false deity. Your heart should not have any attachment to any false deity. Then you fill it with the belief and the love of the true deity. But to say, I believe in Allah, but I will not disbelieve in these other things people worship, that will not make you a Muslim. That will not make you a Muslim. It's a must. It is a prerequisite. It is a condition. Condition. That's the negation first. La ilaha. La ilaha. There's no true deity except Allah. All other deities are false. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ أَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهُ هُوَ الْبَاطِلُ. That is because Allah is the haq, the truth. And what they call besides him is falsehood, batil. Anything you call besides Allah is batil, false deity. So you have to keep this in mind, my dear brothers and sisters. First of all, you negate, then you affirm. So all the prophets, this is their message. Abudu Allah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayr. Wa ila Thamud akhahum salihah. And to the tribe of Thamud, the people of Thamud, their brother Salih. What did he say? Salih alayhi salam. And abudu Allah. Worship Allah. Ma lakum min ilahin ghayr. You have no other deity, any other god but him. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. To the people of Ad, the brothers Hud, told them the same thing. اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ, worship Allah alone. You have no other ilah. No other ilah, no other deity but him. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. To the people of Madian, their brother Shu'aib. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ أَلَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. No other ilah, worship Allah only. So this is the message of the Tawheed. And today, people, they compromise. Today, there is open invitation that all religion are the same. All the roads lead to Rome. All of us are the same. Whatever you worship is okay. No, no, no. We're not the same. You are going to hell. if you remain worshipping these false deities. We are clear with you as Muslims. You are the fuel of the hellfire. If you do not repent, and because we love, that you accept the guidance and to become our brothers and to enter the Jannah. That's why we invite you. We're not the same. There's only one religion. It is Al-Islam. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. The religion in the sight of Allah that Allah accepts is only Al-Islam, submission to Him. And this is the religion and the deen of all the prophets, started with their father, Adam alayhi salam. All are Muslims, all of them. They worship only one, and that's Allah, and they submit to Him. So the deen is only one. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever seeks a way of life, deen, religion, other than al-Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ, it will not be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be among the losers. He will be in the hellfire. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we have to be open and frank with the people and call a spade a spade. We should not cheat them. We should not cheat them. We have to tell them the truth. لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. They're not the same. Because if we say and accept it as Muslims that we are the same, then we'll become disbelievers. We'll become disbelievers. That will take us out of Islam. We believe God is one. We believe in His oneness, His uniqueness. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Is this equal to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one? Of course, it's not the same. وقالت اليهود عزير بن الله وقالت النصارى المسيح بن الله. The Jews said Ezra is the Son of God. And the Christians said, Jesus Christ is Son of God. And Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. They have blasphemed and disbelieved those who say God is three. The Holy Trinity. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Verily, those who say Jesus Christ, Son of Mary, is God, are disbelievers. They disbelieved. So the Quran is so clear. So the message of all the prophets is calling the people to worship Allah and Allah alone. وَنَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَيْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Shun all these false deities. And see how many deities are worshipped today.
how many days? Everything almost is worshipped. People, they worship. They worship trees, idols, animals, rats. Do you know that people, they worship rats, mice? Mice. The mice are worshipped. People worship the private parts, genitals. Yes. So idolatry, paganism is there. Just like the paganism and idolatry of the Arabs, or maybe worse. What people were to worship the devil himself, devil worshippers. Islam came with this rahmah, with this message to set us free from the bonds, from the handcuffs and the shackles of paganism and superstition. Islam came to liberate the human mind, to set you free, set you free. ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت فمنهم من هدى الله ومنهم من حقت عليه الضلالة. The people, messengers came to them, presented the message. Some responded positively, so they accepted the guidance. So Allah guided them in the sense Allah opened their hearts for the truth because they were willing, they were receptive, because the hidayah, two types. The first type of hidayah, hidayat irshad. The second, hidayat tawfiq. So hidayat irshad, which means to show you the way of salvation, and that is the mission and the task of the prophets. So the prophets, they showed you the way and came to you, and they told you, this is the path, this is the way. And now you accepted that. The moment you accepted that, Allah opens your heart and fill it with the faith and with the love. But if you reject what the messengers wrote, your heart will remain sealed and closed. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ. And among them were those whom Allah guided. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ. And among them were those upon whom error was deservedly decreed. Dalala, misguidance. They were misguided. Why they were misguided? Why were they allowed to go astray? Because that's what they decided to do. They chose to go astray. Not Allah caused them to go astray. They chose that willingly. Because Allah had given everyone the free will to choose. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. We showed him the two paths, the two ways. Way of salvation, way of destruction. It's up to you. It's up to you. Allah will not force you to tread on any of the two paths. You decide. The moment you put your foot at the entrance of the path of salvation, Allah supports you and pushes you. Go. Go now. Move. And that's what we say as Muslims. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. What does it mean? Show us the straight path. Are we outside the straight path? No. It means, oh Allah, keep us now in this straight path and make us remain here and not to go astray. So give us the steadfastness, oh Allah. That's the meaning of it. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ لا إله إلا الله. See how the Quran talks. Allah says, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Travel through the land. See what happened to them. See their ruins. Where is the Roman Empire? Where is it? Go to Greece. Or Rome. What do you see? Remains. That's what you see. Go to Egypt. Where are the pharaohs? You see only the mummies. Where is Pharaoh? You see his mummy. Fasiru fil ard. So proceed and travel through the earth, through the land. فَانْظُرُوا. Look what happened to them. Learn. Deduce lessons. What happened to those who were rebellious? Those who disbelieved? Those who rejected the truth? Those who opposed the prophets and messengers? What happened to them? Travel and see. فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And observe and see how was the end of the deniers, the rejectors of the truth. Allah destroyed them. And what you see only remains. Some of their dwellings remained intact, like the people of Saleh. Allah destroyed them by tremendous blast, cry, sound, finished. But everything remained intact, their food, their dwellings, everything. People of Ad, Allah destroyed them by the wind. The Pharaoh and his troops drowned in the sea. So read the history and deduce lessons. As Allah is telling us, فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And this is actually a warning to all mankind. Don't tread on the path of the deniers and rejectors of truth. Because what happened to them will happen to you. Will happen to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain on this beautiful deen. May Allah keep us remain steadfast on this deen. May Allah save us from going astray. May Allah keep us on the deen until we die upon al-Islam. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman and your iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haqq and unite our hearts in the haqq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا جزاك الله خير. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we'll start the question and answers time now. If you have questions, please do send them in as fast as possible. We have received a few so far, so inshallah, we will begin with those. And if anyone has any verbal questions, you can ask directly also, inshallah, by raising your hand, and we'll allow you to speak directly. Okay, first question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. What to do with a 9-year-old girl who steals and lies? It has become a habit and she knows it is wrong, but she still steals and lies. Yes, Sheikh, 9 years old.
The child was not born thief. Something went wrong in the tarbiyah, in the upbringing. And now recall the story. They said a thief was caught and they were going to execute him. So he said, do you have any wish before we kill you? He said, yes, I want to see my mother. They brought his mother. And he told his mother, get close to me. And then he bit either something in her body, either her nose or her tongue. And he said, when they asked him, why did you do that? He said, she is the one who made me the thief. My mother made me the thief. When I was a young boy, I bring things. She tells me, good. Had you stopped me from day one, disciplined me from day one, I would not be in this position. It is my mother. So something went wrong in the upbringing of the child, and never too late to correct it. Okay, so you need to discipline the child and to warn the child, educate the child, and maybe you can seek the help of a psychologist or psychiatrist. Why the child does this? Why? Sometimes the parents, they teach the children to steal. How? Your child comes to you and say, Daddy, give me 1 dirham or give me 1 pound. You swear by Allah, son, I don't have. And he sees your wallet is full of money. He sees it. And you are swearing by Allah, I don't have. So when you are away, he will pick. A note or takes some coins. Because you don't want to give him. And he sees that you are a liar, you lie. But you can't tell him, see, the money is here. I will not give you. You know why? For this reason, if you want me to give you, do this and do that. There's no free lunch. Always this how you need to teach your children. No free lunch. You have to do something. If you finish your assignments, your homework, this is your reward. So my advice for all the parents, not only for the parents of this particular child. Children are pure. They're not criminals. But why they become, they misbehave and they develop bad habits either because they watch things, games, movies, bad friends. That's why we need to take care of the children. Not only at home, outside, who are they? Their friends, their colleagues in school. Mothers, get closer to your daughters, get closer to your children. Fathers, get closer to your sons and daughters. Take your sons with you to the masjid. Make them love the deen and instill in their hearts the fear of Allah. Allah is watching us. When he comes to say, Daddy, I need this. Father, I need this. Say, it's not me who's going to give you. Allah. So let us ask Allah. Come next to me. Let's ask Allah. Oh Allah, make it easy, facilitate it to help this boy, to give him this much. Then you give the boy. So what you do to the mind of the child, that you tell him, I am only a tool, but the one who provides for you is Allah, not me. I'm only a tool. So he will grow up. If he needs anything, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the upbringing, my dear brothers and sisters, is very essential. We need to take care of our children. They are so pure, so innocent. Who corrupt them? We corrupt them. The environment corrupts them. That's why the parents make them a Jew, Christian, or Zoroastrian. It's the environment, external factors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide this child, and may Allah help the parents to reform the character of this child and the behavior of this child. Amen.
Amen, Sheikh. I will go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum, dear Honorable Sheikh. To say the student is bright and that he is not bright, how does this present uniqueness? This is a question related to last week's class with reference to the affirmation of Allah's attributes and negation of the opposite. Can you kindly provide more examples that illustrate uniqueness?
It seems that the questioner didn't comprehend it well. Uniqueness takes place only in the presence of the negation and the affirmation. Negation by itself will not make you unique. Affirming by itself will not make you unique. He's a bright student. Does this make him unique? Is he the only one? I affirm that he is a bright student. Does this make him unique? No, there's another student who's bright. Okay. So affirmation by itself didn't make him unique. Now, take the opposite. He is not bright. He's thick. He's not smart. I negate intelligence and smartness and brightness. Is he unique? Is he the only lazy student? No, we have others. So neither affirmation nor negation by itself will make a person unique. But if there is negation and affirmation, then uniqueness takes place. There is no brighter students in this class except this one. There is no negation, then I affirmed only this one. So he's unique. He is unique. So that's why La ilaha illallah, two parts, negation and affirmation. There's no deity, that's negation. Deserve to be worshipped but Allah, affirmation. So you negate the false deities and then you affirm the belief in the true deity. So there is negation and affirmation, therefore the uniqueness. You single out Allah from among all the deities that are worshipped, and you single him out and you say, this is the only deity that deserves to be worshipped. The rest are false deities and I reject them and I disbelieve in them. So that is the significance of the negation and affirmation in the kalima when you say La ilaha illallah. That's why the meaning of La ilaha illallah, La ma'buda bihaq illallah. There is no deity worthy, this is the key word, worthy to be worshipped but Allah. This is the true meaning. Because some people, they say, there is no God but God. No, this is not true. There are other gods, small g, false deities worshipped. But who is the true God, the true one that deserves to be worshipped? Allah. So to say La ilaha illallah means there is no God but God. There are other things worshipped. God. God, small g. There are many things. How you are saying there is no one, there is no God but God, and there are many gods. And we see them. People worship. But when you say there is no true deity, bihaq, deserves to be worshipped, then you single out Allah and you negate all these false deities. So to say there's no God but God, this is wrong. And there is another meaning, which is far-fetched meaning, and no Muslim believes in it. Because when you say there's no God but God, that means everything is God. No God, but God. Anything that people call it God, it is God, which means everything is God. That means the pantheism. Everything is God. You can worship whatever you like. But this meaning is far-fetched and no Muslim thinks about that or believes in that. So the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, there is no God worthy, God with the capital G and two deity that is deserved to be worshipped but Allah. So you can see the negation and the affirmation. And there is the uniqueness and Allah becomes unique and you single him out and you worship him alone. Is this clear to the questioner, please?
Inshallah, it is clear. Otherwise, the questioner can ask again for clarity. The next question, Sheikh. Just 1 minute. Okay. The next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is riba and its type? Is it true that any loan that brings benefits is riba?
Alhamdulillah, riba is prohibited, of course. Riba linguistically means increase. And there are two types of riba or usury. This is what the true meaning of it, not interest, the usury or usury. And it is prohibited even in the Holy Bible. And there are two types of it. Riba al-fadl and riba al-nasi'a. I'll explain that. Riba al-fadl means you exchange a commodity with another commodity, an item with another item, and then you take additional amount. So this is called riba al-fadl. The usury or the riba, by adding additional charge or additional amount. And this is what Islam prohibited. And the Prophet ﷺ said, gold with gold, equal amount. So when you sell gold, gold with gold. Okay, so 1 kilo for 1 kilo. No difference. Hand in hand. Silver with silver. Equal amount. Hand in hand. Salt with salt. Wheat with wheat. Date with date. Hand in hand. Equal amount. So if, for example, I sell 1 kilo basmati rice for another kilo of another type of rice, but this is high quality, 1 kilo for 2 kilo, this is riba, haram, and falls under riba al-fadl, riba al-fadl, because now I have more 1 kilo additional. If someone says, but the quality is different, there should be different transactions. Sell the 2 kilos, independent transaction, get the price, then buy that one. But to exchange the same kind of commodity, rice with difference and additional amount, the quantity not the same, that is prohibited. The same thing, gold with gold. Many women, they fall into this riba when they want to exchange the ornaments. They go to the jeweler and say, I have this old ornament and I want to buy this set. Okay, he says, okay. This your gold, that used gold, I will buy it by this amount. And this one, the new set for this amount. She says, okay, take it. And she pays the difference. That is riba. that is totally haram, sisters. What should you do? First, sell, receive the price, take the money. So that transaction finished. Now you can buy. But take this and give me this, and I will give you the difference. It is gold with gold and with addition. So this is one type of riba, riba al-fadl. The second type, those two types were practiced and used at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Second type of riba is called riba al-nasi'a. Nasi'a means the postponement of the payment, the duration, the time. I come to you and I ask you to lend me some money. You say, okay, but I will charge you. So when you give me after 1 year, you took from me 1,000, it will be 1,200. The 200 is the price for the time, the duration, because I will wait for you. So this is haram. And this is called riba al-nasi'a. Al-nasi'a. So the money lender, this is what they do. The banks, this is what they do. As a matter of fact, the riba today is worse than the riba of the Jahiliyyah before Islam. Because the riba of the banks is the combination of the two types of riba, the combination of the two. How? You know that this paper money, the notes, bank notes, before, they are supported, backed by gold in the bank, by gold. Each country deposits this amount of gold. So when I give you this banknote, there is an equivalent deposit of gold for this note. So actually, it represents gold. So if I take from you, from the bank, the banks, this is how they work. They don't give you goodly loan, no. Say, okay, we'll give you this loan and this is the interest rate, they call it. So he charges me more. I borrowed £1,000, then I have to give it to 1,200. The 200, the price for the time, nasi'a. Again, it is also fadl. If you keep in mind that this £1,000 has equivalent amount of gold there, let's say £1,000 is the price of certain number of grams, okay? 50 grams or 100 grams. Or so you, as if you are giving me that amount of gold, and now I have to give you more. That means you gave me 50 grams of gold, I give you 55 grams of gold back. So this is what the banks do. So the riba of the banks today is the combination of the two, which is worse than the riba of al-Jahiliyyah. And both of them are haram. Both of them are haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he threatened those who deal with riba that Allah will wage war with them. So fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters. And do not involve in any riba transaction. Any riba transaction. Because it is a major sin. It is a major sin. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum, dear Honorable Sheikh. Is it a sin to say this person, he or she, is ugly or beautiful as they are all created by Allah?
No, you don't say that. You don't say that. Kullu khalqillahi hasan. Kullu khalqillahi hasan. All Allah's creation is beautiful. So all are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't criticize someone because of his looks. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this person, okay, and has less beauty or less handsomeness, we don't accuse or insult that person. That's why the Prophet Islam teaches us, when you see someone with disability or handicapped, you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi aafani mimma btalaka bih, faddhanni ala kathiri mimma khalaqa tafdhila. So you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he didn't test you by such disability. And those who have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, remember that, if you have a disability, Allah compensates you by giving you something else. Many of those who are genius, they had certain disabilities, and they were genius. So if you sit down and make a table for the pluses and minuses, the good things and the bad things you have, the good quality and bad quality, you'll find them equal. Equal. Okay? You are multimillionaire. Your neighbor is very poor. Your children, they have private tutors. But at the end of the year, you see their certificates, F, 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 failure, failure, failed, failed, failed. Next door, your neighbor, his children, bright. A, A plus, A, A plus. You have money, he doesn't have. But you have good children, intelligent one, you don't have. You are sick. He's healthy. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs his kingdom. All people are equal. And the qualities are distributed equally. Are distributed equally. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum. To maintain our fitra, please advise us on how to keep reading the Quran on a monthly basis.
On the monthly basis, every day, finish one chapter. So you'll finish the Quran every month. That's the minimum. Okay. And it's very easy that every day one juz. Very easy. So every month you will finish it. So you are always in connection with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. Next question. Is it permissible to propose to a customer one does have and buy it later? Is it permissible to propose to a customer to take it and pay for it later, an item?
The answer, yes. Okay, if you have a client, okay, he doesn't have now, so he will bring you the price later on, so he will take the commodity. Okay, so you just register it and that's okay. And this is the case of many of the transactions, especially groceries and things like that. People, they come at the end of the month and they pay the prices of the commodities they took. Is this clear?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. The next question. What is the ruling on selling perfume to a woman if we do not know she is married or not?
You don't ask. You don't ask whether she is going to wear it for her husband or wear it for or wear it and go outside. You don't ask. You don't ask. Next. You are selling perfume. A woman stepped in and he asked to buy perfume. She put it and walked in the street. The sin on her, not on the seller. Next.
Is it permissible to invest in a business that borrows from banks?
The answer, no. Because you help them. And Allah says, وَتَعَاوْنُ عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوْنُ عَلَى الْإِثْنُ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You should not help them. Next.
That was the final question of tonight, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. If you'd like to conclude the session.
Barakallah feekum. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family. And may Allah elevate your status in the dunya and the akhirah. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen till we meet him. And he is pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah guide our ummah, unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. بحفظ الله ورعايته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.